Well, it's not in the scriptures, so then I can do that, correct? The main text for today is found in Leviticus, or Vayikra, chapter 10. And it's also a situation here dealing with the, in this case, with the sons of Aaron, Aharon. Reading from the King James and also from the Tree of Life, back to Vayikra, or Leviticus chapter 10. So first of all, going to the King James, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Yahweh, which he commanded them not. And in the Tree of Life version, we go over here, and this is a recent printing here that we're blessed to have. We had to change some of the words like Adonai, Lord, and God just the same. So, thank you. Now, it says, now Aaron's sons Nadab and Abihu each took his own censer, put fire in it, laid incense over it, and offered unauthorized fire before Yahweh, which he had not commanded them. So fire came out from the presence of Yahweh and consumed them. So they died before Yahweh. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what Yahweh spoke of, saying, to those who are near to me, I will show myself kadosh, or separated or pure. Upon the faces of all the people, I will be magnified. Then Aaron kept silent. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Aaron's uncle Uziel, and said to them, or Uziel, come near, carry your relatives away from the front of the sanctuary to outside of the camp. So they drew near and carried them, still in their tunics, outside of the camp, as Moses had said. Moses said to Aharon, and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, do not uncover your heads or tear your clothes, so you may not die, and he will not be angry with the entire congregation. But let your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, mourn over the burning that Yahweh has kindled. You must not go out from the entrance of the tent of meeting, or you'll die, for the anointing oil of Yahweh is upon you. So they acted according to the word of Moshe. Anyway, to know this, that to bring anything that even to a common person would seem strange to bring into a church service up on the altar, like an idol of some sort, a Christmas tree, that is just looking for trouble. That our spiritual status is going to be at risk. And regarding the music, our worship music should reflect the music that we expect to sing in the fellowship of Yahweh in the world to come, in the fellowship of Yahweh and his son at his right side. And ask the question, is Yahweh and Yahushua his son and the pure spirit of the Father honored by our music? Does our music reflect the purity, peace, shalom, and majesty of our Almighty King of Kings? Can we imagine singing our church music or music of the synagogue one day when we stand before the indescribable majesty of Yahweh? The Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians 3, chapter 20, that our citizenship is in heaven. And that means that every aspect of our lives, including ourselves and our thoughts, our music, should be seen as a preparation for eternity with Yahweh. So, do we imitate the world? Romans 12:2 says we should not imitate the world, but be renewed by and transformed by the renewing of the word in our mind. Are we still in the world? Do we imitate the world? Are we still in the culture of the world or the Western world? How are we any different from the pagan side? Have we been transformed by the renewing of the mind and the preaching of the word in some of the more discriminating churches and assemblies? They're doing everything but cutting themselves so far. But there's the loud rock and roll, they're jumping up and down, yelling. There's also man-made traditions. I haven't seen any Christmas trees, thankfully, or snakes up in the altar. But anything not commanded by Yahweh may be sin, putting our spiritual position in jeopardy. Romans 12 again, and so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to Yahweh. Let them be a living offering, separated, the kind He can accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Oh, is that too small of a thing? So do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a renewed and different, transformed one by the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, as the Ruach renews your heart with a freshness in all we do, think, and say. And then we'll learn from the experience of others and from our own experience how Yahweh's ways are really satisfying. And you know that we're responsible for everything, even the smallest details, the most minute details. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Matthew 5, 19. Messiah speaking, and whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Which one is the least commandment? Well, I don't know if it's the 10th commandment, because it was last in the 10 decrees. But maybe there is really relatively no least of any of the commandments there. But if there were, even that would be very paramount for us to observe and to keep and to cherish Yahweh's commandments in our heart. The most seemingly insignificant thing becomes it could become a stumbling block, but it could be the greatest thing that we would do, even if it's just helping a brother in Israel or a sister, a little family over there as they struggle against all the nations that are battling against Israel. So we read from Matthew 5:19, and now speaking of small things, in Ezekiel chapter 20, and we'll start at verse 11, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 11, and Yahweh is speaking. I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sets them apart. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them, in the judgments, the commandments. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. We hear that today, in opposition to the commandment originally given in the book of Genesis, the illustration given there as Yahweh rested on the seventh-day Sabbath. And later on, we find that in Hebrews 4 in the New Testament, and also we find that in the prophecy in the future in the book of the Revelation. We find in Isaiah 66, from one Sabbath to another, from one new moon to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. So, and I was right in the middle of this reading of Ezekiel 20. The house of Israel rebelled against Yahweh in the wilderness. They walked not in his statutes. They despised the judgments and the Sabbaths. They greatly polluted. They may have been keeping the Sabbath day, but they made too many man-made customs. They added to the law. They had this, an oral law called the Talmud. Today, the evangelicals have added much. It has been known through history anyway that certain churches have added legalistic traditions and bondage, just as our brothers, the Jews, have, and that we are to have a certain length of hair and that kind of thing. The dress codes are good, though. I don't want to set that aside. So back to the scripture here. Also, I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despise my judgments and walk not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. And leaving off from Ezekiel, then going back to the Torah, or the book in the book of Numbers, Bamidbar, chapter 16, 13. Starting at verse 8, it should be, Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi, does it seem but a small thing unto you? Moses said to Korah, I pray you, you sons of Levi, does it seem a small thing that Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you here to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of Yahweh, to stand before the congregation to minister unto him, you know, and I would say exactly as he said or commanded. Verse 10, He brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek the priesthood also, question, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against Yahweh. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? So there was the context. Maybe we could insert that in there. And then reading the next two verses, 12 and 13, Moses said to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliah, which said, We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that flows with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except that thou mayest altogether be a prince over us? And verse 15, Moses was very angry or wroth and said unto Yahweh, Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said to Korah, Be thou and all thy company before Yahweh, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring you before Yahweh every man his censer. 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you, his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, according to the commandment, and laid incense therein, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Moses and Aaron and Korah gathered all the congregation against them into the door of the tabernacle, and the glory of Yahweh appeared unto all the congregation. Yes, but there are still problems that happened after that. And verse 20, Yahweh spake unto Moses and said, and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. They fell upon their faces and said, O Yahweh, the mighty one of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, Get up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses went up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him, and he spoke to the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. 31, he came to the end of speaking. It came to pass all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that entered appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. There will still be some who would doubt this, that this even happened, or, and they will judge, well, that was too harsh a judgment. But it's even repeated in the book of Jude in verse 11. So that's not something to fool around with, bringing strange incense and strange sacrifices or weird music, dressing up as Alice Cooper and getting up on the stage. No, don't do that stuff. Don't dress up like a clown and sit there in church and, you know, Sunday mornings. And you know, I've seen this in an assembly before. That you were supposed to, you know, what, have a carnal, a carnival atmosphere? Well, maybe I said it right the first time. Without being too judgmental, let's just start using some common sense. And they say, well, I just, you know, I've got this love covenant, this love knot covenant with Jesus. Okay, well, if you have a love covenant, it has to be not a, of course, it's not a Gentile covenant. We know there is no Gentile covenant. But it has to be Yahweh making the covenant, and we both have to agree to his terms. And it will be given by Yahweh. We won't make up some sort of an agreement, and then he's going to agree with that? Are you crazy or something? No. And so, for your friends and my friends, we need to remember these scriptures. And, you know, if they'll take the time to just sit down and open the book. If they won't do it, then I guess you can probably just forget it, because you're not going to get anywhere with somebody who just off the top of their head, and emotions getting carried away, and tempers flaring and all that. But Yahweh reminds us that he has mercy, and he has great love for us, for his children. He just, you know, he's up there, he's not saying this, but you know what I would think that Yahweh might say, get it right. You know, come on kids, come on gang, let's get it right. No, he's not going to talk like that, of course. But that's what I'm telling you anyway. Let's do it right according to the Yahweh's way. And if our friends don't want to enter in, then I guess, you know, the earth may or may not swallow them up like these men, or that Yahweh would cut them down with fire, like we read there earlier, and I think it was Jeremiah 25. But there's going to be repercussions if they don't start taking things seriously. And by the way, I do have an article called "Does It Seem a Small Thing?" and that is on our website. I'll tell you later. Isaiah chapter 7. And this, I believe, is a very prophetic passage here, but it's also can be critical for those around us, who, even those who are serious students of the Word, reject the messianic prophecies. How can they ever do that? They must be hard of hearing and blind or something. They're just not called to the truth or what? I don't know. Because here it is. We have people from all walks of faith who can't even accept the book of Isaiah, I guess, for its direct interpretation, that the scripture harmonizes itself. We don't have to interpret. Isaiah 7, and then I give you, starting at verse 10, that you could share lovingly, hopefully, with somebody who's probably not real religious, and maybe they'll open to the truth. Isaiah 7:10. Moreover, Yahweh spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of Yahweh, thy Elohim, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt Yahweh. And he said, hear you now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my Elohim, worry Yahweh also? Therefore, now here's the messianic prophecy in 7:14. It's a very classic, very often quoted passage, Isaiah 7:14, or Yeshayahu 7. Therefore, Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin, not just a maid, but behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Means Yahweh with us. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Ezekiel 36:24, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also I'll give you, and a new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to keep my judgments and do them. And then David is a very small man, He was a small man that did great feats because he had Jah on his side, just like Israel, that in all the wars, they've been, or virtually all the wars, have been outnumbered. They're outnumbered 40 to 1 in the 1960s and 70s and thereafter, but outnumbered, what was it, 40,000 to 500 people, 500 soldiers, and still Israel only lost a few, but they were the victors. Never lost a war yet, even though they will be punished by Yahweh for their lack of obedience. Psalm 119 here, and under the letter Zadi, which is sometimes represented in the Roman alphabet by a Z, or S, as in Stephan, Stephaniah, Zadi. And anyway, righteousness, it says, righteousness art thou, O Yahweh, and upright are thy judgments. Also, right rulings or privileges. Upright are thy right rulings or privileges. The testimonies, thy testimonies, and that it also regards to his law and commandments and regulations. Thy testimonies, regulations that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten thy words. Oh, some would say amen to that, wouldn't they? Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Devarim chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our mighty one, Yahweh is one. Love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These words which I am commanding you today are to be in your heart. You are to teach them diligently to your children and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, that they are to be as frontlets between your eyes. Now, as frontlets. And write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And then continuing in verse 10, now when Yahweh, your sovereign one, brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Israel, and Jacob, to give you great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns dug that you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and you eat and are full. Then watch yourself so that you do not forget Yahweh, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. You must fear Yahweh your Elohim and serve him and swear by his name. You must not go after other Elohim, the Elohim of the people around you. For Yahweh your Elohim is the midst of you, in the midst of you is a jealous Elohim. Otherwise, the anger of Yahweh your Elohim will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you from the face of the earth. You're not to test Yahweh as you tested him at Massa. Diligently keep the mitzvah, or commandments, of Yahweh your Elohim, and his testimonies and his statutes, as he commanded you. You are to do what is right and good in the sight of Yahweh, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and possess the land, the good land that Yahweh swore to your fathers, to drive out all your enemies before you, as Yahweh has spoken. And so we studied this in our assembly here, my wife Jean pointing out here that those sons not only should have obeyed the part about the incense, bringing the proper offering upon the altar, but also to dwell and to tabernacle with Yahweh in those homes and in the land, and taking the 7-year land rest. All that comes into play when we are in Yahweh's economy and his administration, that we are under his sovereignty, and we respect and we love and we cherish all that Yahweh has given us. Hebrews 6, therefore, leaving the basic teaching of Messiah, let us move on toward maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of trust in Yahweh, of teaching about immersions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do, if Yahweh permits. This we will do what? Well, we'll move on, apparently, but it's also good to renew the basics. We're not going to cast out the basics and never go back, because there's always a possibility that we will forget, and that there are some new people around, or newer ones, or maybe some of us who have a spiritual Alzheimer's disease, and we need to be reminded. I think that applies to just about all those who are young and old alike in the assembly. Those who are baby believers, and those who are more mature. Verse 4, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, having tasted of the heavenly gift, and become partakers of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, and having tasted the good word of Yahweh, and the powers of the Olam Haba, and then having, or the powers of Yahweh and the world to come, then having fallen away, to renew them again to repentance. It's impossible to renew them again, since they are again impaling Ben Elohim, or impaling Yahweh, onto the tree at Calvary for themselves, and publicly disgracing him. The earth, having soaked up the rain frequently falling on it, brings forth vegetation useful to those for whom it is farmed, and it shares in Yahweh's blessings. But if it produces thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed. Its end is to be burned over. We could quote John 14. Or, let's see, no, there's a John 10 about the vine. And that the messengers are going to gather it all together, and burn up the vine, the unfruitful vine, that is, and the chaff. And it's not going to be a pretty sight. And the judgment, there's more judgment in Scripture than there is this love nut stuff that they want to, the popular speakers and those who have itchy ears want to hear out there. There's a lot more warnings and encouragements to follow along and walk with the Word than there is of just relax and be content in Yahweh, and don't worry about your salvation at all, of maintaining good works or anything, because we're already saved, so what does it matter, is what they're saying. No, that's a false doctrine. If I ever walk into anywhere and I walked into a jail before, and I told them what some of the people think about that, that they don't need to worry. And these guys, they're crazy. Who said that, anyway, that you could just not worry at all about Yahweh, not have any fear for him? And these guys were just amazed that there was a church out there, these modern westernized churches, speaking such heresies. So, 6, verse 9 now in Hebrews. But even though we speak like this, loved ones, concerning you are convinced of better things, things coming with salvation. For Yahweh is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love that you showed for his name, in having served and continuing to serve the Kedoshim. But we long for each of you to show the same eagerness for the certainty of hope to the very end, so you will not be sluggish. See, there was the problem. There's the rub. So you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those inheriting the promises through trust and perseverance. Praise Yahweh. Oh, that's such great encouragement. And I thank you, for those of you who checked in here on the Yahweh Yahweh website, to learn about that. What more can we say to those as an answer for the hope we have in us? When they say, it really doesn't matter of bringing all this other stuff into the worship. We can bring in psychology and, snake worship or cutting ourselves. No, we can't. Obviously, they wouldn't do that, hopefully. But they're bringing in, so much heresy. The sodomites taking over the pulpit and so on. But, so they do it. And while saying that they won't do it, but anyway, that those who are saying that you can do anything you feel like, as long as you just put a Jesus tag on it and have the Jesus sweatshirt, T-shirt, the nose ring, and so then you're going to go to heaven. You're in like Flynn. No, these people are not being circumspect, and they're being presumptuous. So what do we do? Do we worry about that? No, we'll just pray about him. We'll just pray, and we'll talk to you next time or something like that. Now onto a different subject here. or slightly related anyway. I'm going to go to the website, and it's one of these called the bondage of things. Well, you know, we have so many blessings, even in our area where we live in the northwest of the United States. I'm thinking that there's only been a few tragedies here, even, you know, more recently, but that we're really blessed. And but generally speaking, we're not in obedience. Most have backslidden, or they never even knew Yahweh, or never even cared. But still, we walk in a blessed land. I'm comparing that with those maybe in the Alps of Europe back in the Middle Ages, or even World War II, how they had to flee from the enemy, how the Jews were chased, how they were persecuted. And will that happen to us in Oregon with our liberal policies and our liberal churches? That remains to be seen. Soon, let's see, we'll be going to, just briefly for a couple of scriptures here, talking about the obedience to the Torah, to the Sovereign One, to Yahweh's Word. He's brought so many blessings upon us of sweet wine and harmony and fellowship, taking us to His gatherings, to His feasts. And He's gathered us there. He's called and blessed us there. We've come up and received much more than we anticipated, more than we came there to hear. And the fellowship, and it was so beneficial to be there. We've been restored and resuscitated and revived at Yahweh's feast days. It all comes from obeying the Word. But there's more to go. And yes, I am talking to the choir here, of course, that you need to hear it. I need to hear it. We need to put our house in order. Destruction is coming. Death is coming sooner or later, as promised. Here's Jeremiah chapter 35 with an illustration. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, "Go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, and bring them into one of the chambers of the house of Yahweh, and give them wine to drink." So I took Hananiah, son of Jeremiah, son of, and then there's a long list there, and said to them, "Drink wine." But they said, "We drink no wine, for Jehonadab, son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, 'You will drink no wine, nor you nor your sons forever. Also you are not to build a house, or sow seed, or plant a vineyard, or own one.'" That was their earthly father commanding that, the Rechabite father. "Instead, all your days you are to dwell in tents, so that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. So we obeyed the voice of Jehonadab, son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us." And then verse 11, "But when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came up against the land, we said, 'Come, let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, for fear of the army of the Arameans.' So we are dwelling in Jerusalem." Then the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah, or Jeremiahu, saying, "Thus saith Yahweh Shavuot, the Elohim of Israel, Go and say to the men of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will you not receive instruction by listening to my words, says Yahweh, the words of Jehonadab, son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are observed, and to this day they drink none, for they listen to their father's commandment. Yet I have spoken to you early and often, and you have not obeyed me." Skipping to verse 17, "Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Shavuot, the Elohim of Israel, I'm about to bring on Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I spoke to them, but they have not heard, and I called to them, but they have not answered. Now Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, Thus says Yahweh Shavuot, the Elohim of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jehonadab, your father, or Jonadab, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore thus says Yahweh Shavuot, the Elohim of Israel, there will never be cut off for Jehonadab, son of Rechab, a man to stand before me forever." And that's from the book of Jeremiah. Of course, regarding the doctrine of wine, there are many, many scriptures. Deuteronomy 14 would be one of them, as to bring wine, if desired, to the feast, certainly for Passover, that was commanded. So this is not a lesson about that, about the drinking of wine. It's about obedience to Yahweh, and if he said to do something or not to do something. So that is the question. I was reading from the Tree of Life version, and in verse 35, verse 1, now we'll make that the King James version. The word which came into Jeremiah from Yahweh in the days of Jehoiakim. And go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them, bring them into the house of Yahweh, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink, it says there. And some of the scriptures dealing with that, the drinking of wine, are listed on our website, yahweh.name. You might look up Proverbs 6:20, and not to look upon the wine when it is red and thick, and drinking wine to excess, of course, is spoken of in the book of Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy. But we need to hearken to the words of Yahweh. Leviticus 20:26 on the KJV, King James Version. And you shall be Kodesh, or holy, or separated unto me, for I, Yahweh, am separate, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. I have separated you from the peoples to be mine. In other words, from the religions, from the cultures, to be in Yahweh's pure place. Not that this assembly necessarily is the perfect place. Okay, but anyway, concentrating on the Torah there, Leviticus 20:26, and there are five books of the Torah, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, if I said all five there. And, you know, the purpose of the Torah is not to show us that we can't keep it, but to persuade us that we shall. The purpose of the Torah is to convince us of sin and our need to repent and how to be blessed and what will happen if we don't. Believers are, well, of course, we're not saved by keeping the law. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 says, "For by faith we are saved through grace and our unmerited favor, and not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are saved unto good works," yes, when we have fellowship with Yahweh. But that's, I'm not quoting it word for word, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, paraphrasing. "For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah unto good works." That's not a paraphrase at all. Created in Messiah unto good works. But the Torah is the standard, the compass, the moral compass, which is the way unto life that we need to tell people about. We could quote here Psalm 1, the law of Yahweh in Psalm 1. King David wrote this. Let's see. Turning here. I can never, off the top of my head, remember that for the life of me. Blessed. That's how you remember, I guess. Blessed is the person or man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight, he agrees with Paul here, his delight is in the Torah of Yahweh, and in the Torah he does meditate night and day. Psalm 1, verse 2. So to the gist of that is we delight in Yahweh's law, and it's just as sweet honey, a blessing to us, like my wife is a honey to me. And but Yahweh's law is the standard, the way of life. The Torah is the blessing, and with a pure heart, with the Ruach HaKodesh, we are keeping his word, his Torah. In the New Testament, the Torah consists of 1,050 commands in the so-called New Testament, or Brit Kadashah. But some say we only have to love the Father and love our neighbor. Only two things to do, but that's a summary. They don't understand that this is a summary of the two greatest commandments, is only an outline if you will, of the commandments, statutes, and judgments. But without the Torah, there wouldn't be anything left to condemn us. And that's the way some would like it, I guess. But that's their way. It's not Yahweh's standard. It's not proof of our love if we disregard his commandments, if we don't guard his law in our hearts. If we don't have his law in our heart, then we don't have that new covenant. They say, well, a Jewish covenant. Okay, well, whatever. If you want to be racist, if they want to be like that, then, you know, I don't understand somebody who says that they're pro-Israel, and then, but then they say, I won't have anything at all to do with those Jewish laws. Yeah, they won't have anything to do with the Jewish salvation either. The Jew who came to give us eternal life by his death on the tree at Calvary, by his resurrection, he gave us eternal life. Actually, he gave us forgiveness of sins by the death on the tree. But anyway, first purpose of Torah is not to condemn, but to convince us of sin and our need to repent. And second purpose of Torah is that it is our compass. And then as we are grafted in to Yahweh's good olive tree, grafted in, we are like another tree, a Gentile being grafted in to Yahweh's good olive tree. Yes, the Jewish olive tree, okay, if you will. But the Sabbath and feast days, oh, they are spoken of in the scriptures 30 times from the book of Acts to Revelation. And the Sabbath day, the feast days, Hebrews 4 is the revealed word of Yahweh that states that the seventh day is that specific Sabbath day of rest. And from the opponents, there's only silence when it comes to that scripture. If Yahweh were silent, that would be justifiable. But Yahweh has spoken clearly and loudly in the prophets for his Sabbath, and he was in the grave, his son rather, Yahusha, was in the grave 3 nights and 3 days, from Aviv 14 to Aviv 17. Very, very simple. That's a second year arithmetic there. Aviv 14 to 17 is 3 nights and 3 days. And so then there's the test. There is the test that we keep his commandments. This is found now in 1 John. I'm kind of jumping all over here today. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. By this test we know, or by this we know, that the love of the children of Yahweh is this: when we love Yahweh and keep his mitzvah, his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. Oh, the burden is lifted off when the Spirit Ruach HaKadosh repents us of our sinful nature. I was going to say something else about that. Anyway, something terrible had happened when we became of age. After we were born, we became of age and we started to rebel against our parents and leaders, to some extent anyway, not totally. And then Yahweh came along and washed away all those sins. When we asked him to do that, of course, we surrendered at the tree at Calvary. And then we look forward to being with him in eternity. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then jumping up to chapter 27 of the Revelation of Yochanan, Revelation 21:6, and he said unto me, it is done, I am Aleph and Tav, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. There is a reference there, a phrase referring to the Messiah, the water of life, as he poured out water and blood on the tree at Calvary, on Calvary's tree. Just as historically accurate as is the nose on your face or on the face of your dog. Is that what? Well, anyway, that's an illustration there, a creationist illustration there. Revelation 22:1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. And then verse 17 of chapter 22, same chapter, the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Are you excited? Oh, yes. You know, it might not be very long before Yahweh comes back. And we have to have our house in order. I'm trying to keep with my theme here to read scriptures. Joel chapter 3, and it shall come to pass, in verse 18, it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk. And milk or honey, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of Yahweh Almighty, and shall water the valley of Achishia, or Shittim, and Joel 3:18. But I said Achishia, A-C-A-C-I-A, A-C-A-C-I-A. We're to love Yahweh with all of our heart, soul, mind, and husbands are to love our spouses, even our wives, even as the anointed one also loved the assembly and gave himself for it, that he might set it apart, set apart the assembly, and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word. I'm reading from Ephesians 5:27 now, that he might present it to himself a glorious or spectacular or splendid assembly. Tried to use a suitable synonym. And a glorious assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be pure and without blemish. Thank you, Yahweh, for calling us and letting us call on Thee to repent and be immersed, be baptized, and receiving the pure Spirit and the pure water of life. You know, we are not that far from having our foot in the grave. It reminds me of that song, left foot, one foot on the floorboard of his gas pedal and the other foot in the grave. Well, we weren't far from the grave either, whether or not we ever drove a hot rod. John chapter 3, I'm going to read that one, and I still haven't done the Second Kings I told you about, so I'll still do it. Yeah, I think we're going to do that one. But John 3:5, verily, verily, I say unto you, Messiah says unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. And then verse 14, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We think of that water pouring ceremony there at the last great day, during the Feast of after the Feast of Tabernacles. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, John 7:38, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hebrews 10, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Read all of Hebrews 10. And then again, in Acts 10, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the pure Spirit as well as we? Psalm 65, thou visited the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of Yahweh, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. And the poor and needy in Isaiah, the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue fails for thirst. I, Yahweh Almighty, will hear them. Yahweh of Israel, I will not forsake them. Speaking here, first of all, of Israel, of Yisrael, of that whole nation spread out throughout the whole earth, and there remains very few. Most of the pagans were slaughtered off back thousands of three or four thousand years ago, and what remained would be that what they called a little nation, but they were dispersed throughout the earth, even to America. And Yahweh says even as we are spread to the far corners of the earth here, that he will not forsake us. He said in Isaiah 41:18, I will open rivers Open up rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I'll make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land I'll make springs of water. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offering. They shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. In an acceptable time, thus saith Yahweh Almighty, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant to the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves, they that feed in the ways, and their pastors shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that has mercy on them shall lead them by the springs of water, he'll guide them. Yahweh Almighty will guide them continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought. Make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. In the scriptures in the Old Testament, even Hezekiah displayed some disobedience, and as a result, his life was to be cut short. And in 2 Kings 20, he was told to set his life in order. That's 2 Kings verse 1 in chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. Isaiah, the prophet, son of Amos, there weren't three Isaiahs, by the way. We don't find evidence for, I'm sorry about that, but that you're wrong. There's only one prophet, Isaiah, son of Amos. And he said to him, thus says Yahweh, put your house in order, for you're dying and will not live. So he was going to cut him down a little early. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to Yahweh, saying, Hezekiah did, saying, please, Yahweh, remember I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in thy eyes. Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, return, say to Hezekiah, leader of my people, thus says Yahweh, the Elohim of thy father David, of your father, so Yahweh, the Elohim of the father David, I have heard your prayer, and I've seen your tears. Behold, I'm going to heal you. On the third day, you go up to the house of Yahweh. Then, reading from the Tree of Life, then I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, take a cake of figs. So they took one and laid it on the boil, and he recovered, says here. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what will be the sign that Yahweh will heal me, and that I should go up to the house of Yahweh on the third day? And so it was an issue of whether the sun would go forward or backwards. Hezekiah answered, 10. It's easy for a shadow to go forward 10 steps. Let the shadow turn back 10 steps. Then Isaiah the prophet cried to Yahweh, and he brought the shadow 10 steps backward, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. So there he was blessed with 15 more profitable good years for Hezekiah, who was one of the great kings of Israel. And yes, there's a lot of real stories there of people's failures, of our leaders' failures, of our forefathers, our great-great-grandfathers who have not been able to toe up and keep Yahweh's commandments or orders, and that some of them were forgiven when they repented, of course, that they were all forgiven when they all repented. But there were many evil kings in those days. So praise Yahweh for Joshua, or Josiah, for Hezekiah, and brother David, and for many who followed the word of Yahweh, who had that conviction. Because, when we have the word of Yahweh and we compare it with our lives, we are far from obedience. Even as our brother Luke Garrett, a great singer who who sang, what's his name? Brown Bannister's song, Old Man's Rubble. And just quoting a few of the words here, are you walking with unnecessary burdens? Are you trying to live by your own emotions? Speaking of that strange fire on the altars of today's churches, are you trying to live with your emotions? Are you putting your faith in what you feel and see? If you're doing that, then you're living just to satisfy your passions. And you better be careful, because you're being deceived. And then the chorus says, are you living in an old man's rubble? Are you listening to the father of lies? Lies. If you are, then you're listening to the father of lies. Oh, I see. And you're headed for trouble if you listen too long. If you listen too long to the world, then you'll eventually die. Oh, how I love that. That our spiritual state can change quite radically if we're not taking things seriously from Yahweh's word. Praise Yahweh. Praise the King of Kings today. And then, well, I talked a lot about the backsliding. We're all vulnerable and prone to temptations, you know, to giving in, rather, to them. But we're also, if we're saved and filled with the Spirit, we're also very sensitive to Yahweh, His gentle calling by His Spirit and by the Word. And when we hear things like this from Jeremiah chapter 23, then we become convicted and we become so hungry and thirsty, so humble before Yahweh that we want to, oh, help us. Help us, Yahweh, to repent. Get over using the pagan names, having the pagan symbols and things around us, pictures, or, you know, the Christmas tree of Jeremiah 10. So where is it? Jeremiah 23. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they that prophesy of the deceit of their heart, which cause to take to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Baal means Lord. We need to seek Him with our whole heart. And in Jeremiah 6:16, jumping back then, even though generally the people of Israel said they would not walk therein, they would not be reined in under the sovereign one, the Yahweh. They would not submit to the husband, and we are the bride. They would not submit. Thus saith Yahweh, this is 6:16, stand in the way, stand you in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. And then Jeremiah 17 about the Sabbath. And then chapter 19, verse 15. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of the northern kingdom of Israel, in other words. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they may not, or rather that they might not hear my words. What a shame if we reject Yahweh's word, that He will reject us. But He, you know, He's not going to give up. He's keeping us in the palm of His hand. We have rejected His Ten Commandments at one time or another. We are not active sinners. So I don't think that it's legitimate to call us sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace or something. No, we don't make a practice of breaking the Torah. We don't plan to do it. Sometimes we fall into temptation, but that doesn't come very frequently. Maybe it doesn't come for some of us very frequently. But we were saved by unmerited favor and not by works. And Either Yahweh's Torah will govern us, or by Yahweh we will be governed by our enemies, will be ruled by our enemies. And it looks like that time possibly is going to get closer, whether we're Democrat or Republican. Hosea 1:10 in the Minor Prophets, Hosea 1:10. Yet the number of the chosen children shall be as the sand of the sea, which can't be measured or numbered. Yes, and well, I guess that makes us the number one tribe, and we love Yahweh, not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy he saves us to keep his law, not to reject it, not to to show discrimination against the Jews, but how we love his law, his Hebrew law that he gave us. How we love to be grafted into the good olive tree. How we love to have his covenant written in our hearts, and that we are able to share this joy and the truth with others too. And then continue to share it even more and more, and to warn others of, such as Isaiah warned many, many times. And a friend of mine was warned. I warned him about the rock and roll music, and he was going to an assembly of God, and he said, well, it really doesn't make any difference. Your choices of music is amoral, or, it's a neutral thing about music. He wound up in jail 5 years. And so I've been warning him again, so I'm wondering, I'm going to watch and see what happens there. Many years later now, what happens to my brother? I don't want him to wind up destroyed for lack of knowledge. Isaiah 5:13. I think we need to close. We've been over an hour here. Isaiah 5, and then we can jump up to 24. Isaiah 24. And remember the repercussions from disobeying Yahweh's word. Remember that at all times, that we need to sit down with the open scriptures often and hear that wonderful word of life, and not to go rush to the book of Galatians and try to do away with the law. That's dealing with the ceremonial, the sacrificial, and the law of circumcision, as it says there in Galatians 2. And so it's dealing with the temple sacrifices. Any time that it seems that Paul in the book of Galatians is trying to do away with the law and setting us free from the obligation of obeying Yahweh. Okay, well, I don't know if how clearly I stated that, but Isaiah 5:13 now. Yahweh speaking, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. 24. As fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the Torah, or law of Yahweh of hosts, and despised the word of the pure one of the Hebrews. And then we'll go to we'll skip chapter 9 and then come back to it. We were in 5:13. And Isaiah 24, verse 5, the earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof because they have transgressed the Torah, changed the ordinance. So they changed Sabbath to Sunday and so on. They've changed the Feast of Tabernacles to either Thanksgiving or Halloween. They changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. As we can learn from the example of others who are disobedient, who are revealed, who are very transparent. In the Old Testament, it's clear to us, in other words, that their disobedience had terrible repercussions, that they are destroyed. Just as today, and spiritually anyway, it could be that the wages of sin is death will apply literally to each and every one of our deliberate, disobedient brethren. And the protesting pastor will not begin preaching out the Torah from the beginning, but he will do many contorted gyrations and try to take you elsewhere, Paul's letters, and lead you out astray. So don't listen to him. Don't listen to anybody but the Word. Okay, and hallel to Yahweh. Then I close with Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, about the Messiah and the increase of his government. You know, the one with laws. And the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So please read the rest of that in Isaiah. And until then, may Yahweh give us a clear understanding of his authority, of his law, of justification, of his mercy and forgiveness, and of New and Old Testaments that harmonize quite beautifully as we read the word of Yahweh and mull it over, and the Yahweh and the Spirit will definitely reveal himself to you through the word, not in some extraneous way. Don't depart out of the way or cause others to stumble at the law or corrupt the covenant. Yahweh of hosts says to get your house in order and be ready when he comes, because that day, that hour may come very, very soon. Blessings to you today, and check out our website, Yahweh Yahweh. Please drop us an email. We rely not on donations, but on blessings from Yahweh. But we need to know your needs and whether or not you're really, not speaking of financial needs, sorry about that. We don't have millions of dollars to, or thousands to give away. Sorry about that. But we need to know if you are really inspired or helped in some way by our teaching here. Should we continue, or should we keep paying the $50 a month or so, or should we quit soon, or maybe perhaps you think that we should do things a little bit differently, and we'll consider this. Referring to the types of programs, the quality of the programs, not necessarily in doctrine. I think we're pretty well settled on that, but on the way these programs are presented. Is it good? Is it working out? Is it palatable? And is it effective in helping you grow and to help others and to be prepared for others who might come along and with the spiritual attacks? Is this helping or not? So the address, I said all that to give you the address now, is Stephan Yah. That's Stephanyah. Stephan Yah at YahwehYahweh.name. YahwehYahweh.name. Very important that you contact us, because we are considering if we should cut back or quit altogether or continue forever or what. What would be the best thing? We're praying about that. Help us to make these decisions today, okay? Stephan Yah, YahwehYahweh.name. May you be blessed again. Hallel, Yahweh. And Maranatha, Yahweh's coming quickly. Blessings, healing, and praise unto Yahweh. Shalom. Shalom, shalom.